take our Bibles and go to Exodus chapter 20. My brother is 13 years older than I am, and he's teaching a college and career Sunday school class. And the question came up to him, how old are you? He said, I'm 41. You know, he thought that was really, you know, really cute. And one of the college kids says, Pastor, we still think 41 is old. So that's interesting. But yeah, there's a land where we'll never grow old. That's going to be, what age will that be? That's interesting. Don't answer. You'll be thinking about that now the rest of this time. We find ourselves in Exodus chapter 20 dealing with the Ten Commandments. And I want to remind you of the purpose of the Ten Commandments. It is to regulate our society and our government. Would you agree? Our society and our government needs to follow the Ten Commandments. The best thing we can do as a nation is return America to what they call the Judeo-Christian values. Those are under attacks. And the Ten Commandments are a foundational part of that. Second of all, the commandments reflect God's character. An attack on the Ten Commandments is an attack on God's character. One of the things that, you know, somebody has preached a series of messages called Truth Decay. Because truth is attacked. You can have your truth and I can have my truth, and they can be exactly opposite, but they're both valid. That's an attack on God's character. So it's foundational. It's reflecting God's character, and the commandments are still a guide for the New Testament believers. Say, but I'm not under law, I'm under grace. I don't have to do that anymore. No, it's still a guide for us. The New Testament believer has been freed from the penalty of the law, not from the law. Do you understand the difference? We don't have to establish our own righteousness by the law. We get that through Jesus Christ. But it's still a guide for us. Matthew 5:17, Jesus himself says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So we understand there's an importance. So as we think about the organizational structure, you know this, you've seen the movie, right? When the guy came down from the mountain, who's the actor there? I can't think of his name. You know, Charlton Heston. When he came down, you know, how many tablets did he have in his hand? Two. Okay, now we know that from Scripture as well, but you know, sometimes we visualize that. How many commandments were written on the first tablet? Five? Were there? Bob said there's five. How many was written on the second tablet? We don't know. We don't know, right? We don't know. The rest of them. Yeah, whatever was written on the first tab, the rest were on the second. We know that for sure. And whatever wasn't on that second tab was all on the first. You know, so we understand that. But some have tried to figure this out. Again, is there an organizational structure to the first tablet and the second tablet? And there has been some suggestions. I'm sure you've probably heard of this. The first tablet is man's relationship with whom? With God. With God. And the second tablet is man's responsibility to his fellow man. So we have a vertical relationship. We have a horizontal relationship. We come down to commandment number 5. And we'll say that in just a minute. I'm going to ask you, which tablet do you think, if that's true, the first tablet is God, our responsibility to God, second tablet, our responsibility to man, which tablet was commandment number 5 on? Now, we'll talk about that in just a minute. Let's start reading in Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or that's in the earth beneath or that's in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them, or thousands of generations of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that's within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet the neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet the neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So if you have a listing in your Bible, or at least you can count them, maybe you have a number beside them there, we're going to be talking about the fifth commandment tonight. Honor thy father and thy mother. So let me ask you, would that be on the first tablet or the second tablet? How many say second tablet? Let me see your hands. Don't be shy. Say, okay. How many say the first tablet? How many say, I don't want to raise my hand? Right? Okay, yes. Okay, yes. I got you to raise your hand. Good, good. Now, I don't know definitively which tablet we'd put this on, but I want to look at this as, well, before I answer that, well, I don't know what kind of answer. I think it should fit on both. There is a part that fits in both. So, well, technically, how does that work, you know? But there is a part where we have a responsibility to God in this. Why are we to do it? It's to honor God. But also, it involves people. So it kind of straddles both of those. So we can disagree about that and talk about where it goes. But first of all, let's understand, what does the word honor mean? The word honor has the idea of considering it to be weighty, heavy. We consider it very carefully. Now, everybody has advice, right? They say advice is like opinions, and opinions are like noses. Everybody has one, and they all smell. I mean, you say it like that, right? Everybody has an opinion. Everybody has advice to give. And there's good advice, there's bad advice. Would you agree to that? And sometimes people sometimes give you weird advice and you say, okay, you just got to know who that is. Just kind of, you put it aside, you don't really pay much attention. But then someone else will give you advice and say, wow, I need to pay attention to that. That really means a lot to me. For example, if a poor person comes up to me and says, hey, I just found out a way to get rich. I'd say, you're homeless, right? Okay, thank you for the information. And you know, if it's written down, you put it in the file 13, right, in the trash can. You don't consider their advice very weighty because they're not living that. They just are talking words, whereas another person may know what they're talking about. If a professional golfer saw me golfing and said, you need a lot of help, but let me offer one suggestion, I would consider that very heavily. So he knows what he's talking about. I would honor that. Doesn't mean I have to necessarily obey it. One guy I was playing with recently, he said, best advice is close your eyes. You know, okay, that's okay, well, whatever. You know, that may be helpful, but I didn't really pay much attention to that. So we consider something weighty. And there are people in our life probably, if someone were to call you, to email you, to text you, to talk to you in person, you would consider their advice very weighty and you'd listen to them. And others, you'd probably say, you know, they're always like that. Now, when it comes to parents, children are to consider their parents weighty. Does that make sense? That's the commandment here, to honor thy father and thy mother. Honoring, now we talk about adult children, honoring does not mean you always obey everything that's said. Is that true? How many of you, your parents are still alive? Can I see your hand? Okay. Probably half of us, parents are still alive. Depending on your age, they probably don't call you every day and tell you exactly what to do. Say, did you brush your teeth this morning? Go make your bed right now. You know, I mean, as an adult, you're on your own. But when your parents give you advice, you should still honor them. Mom or dad gives you advice. Oh, come on, that's ridiculous. I hope you don't say that to your parents. That's ridiculous. Consider it. Honor them. You're to consider their advice very carefully. Now, I want us to look at this as man's responsibility to God. Say, how in the world, why is this man's responsibility? Can you see where I'm going with this? Honoring your parents is your responsibility to God. Can you see where we're talking about? Now, first of all, let me talk about let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, because this is another giving of this, the second giving, the second time, giving of the law the second time. And Deuteronomy 6 is a really wonderful chapter. And notice, man's responsibility to God can be summed up by one command, and Jesus said this in the New Testament here, and it's simply love God. That's our responsibility. Look at verse 5, Deuteronomy 6 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." That's our responsibility to God, summed up. Now, fleshing that out in the daily details is where we say the rubber meets the road, right? We can say that verse, memorize verse. How do we do that? Our love for God should consume us in every area of our life. We're to love God, and that includes obedience. Look at verse 17. After he goes through, you're going to teach it to your children and all this kind of stuff. Verse 17: "Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and His testimonies and His statutes, which He hath commanded thee." So the idea is loving God is associated with obeying God. You can't say, "I love God, I just disobey everything He tells me." They don't go hand in hand. They're tied together. So our responsibility is defined: love God and to obey Him. But as we read in Genesis 3, man did not do that. And Adam, following his wife's example, Eve was deceived, Adam was not deceived. They transgressed God. And the thing that shook all of creation was when God's creature questioned His goodness. We're still bearing the effects of that today. That put a wobble in the earth's axis, I'm convinced, because they say that their sin has affected all of creation, including even our rotation on our polar axis and throughout creation. The creature disobeyed the Creator. I would say that was the second greatest, great not in good, but in most impactful event in human history. The second most. You say, what's the first, what's the most important event in human history? I'd say it's Jesus Christ on the cross. The greater work was that He was able to restore what sin destroyed. And how much greater the cross was. But the second most impactful event in human history, I believe, was when the creature disobeyed the Creator. Now we have the Lord's Prayer: "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." How would it be in this life if we obeyed God as the angels do in heaven? Well, that would be different, wouldn't it? The very fact that we say, "Now wait a second, I have a choice in the matter." I think about Milton going off to boot camp. You have a choice of whether you obey or disobey the drill sergeant. Just remember that, okay? Now some of you are laughing. Yeah, you have a choice. Yeah, you do, don't you? You're going to get the effects of that. So I would recommend you choose to obey, you know. But the idea that we pause, God says, "Do this." We say, "Now wait a second. Let me decide. Let me make my mind up." That just shows our sinfulness, does it not? And in the garden, this is the shocking story of Scripture. This is the answer. The creature disobeyed the Creator. This is the answer to the question, why is this world so messed up? You ever wondered that question? Man, this world is messed up. Why is this world so messed up? Because the creature has disobeyed the Creator. Now, this may show my age or my interest here. Some of you may think this is a ludicrous illustration. I think it's a pretty cool illustration. Can we imagine a factory that's producing artificial intelligent robots? I mean, you say something, "Oh, come on, you know, this sci-fi stuff." By the way, I took an informal poll with Christian school teenagers about 8 years ago, and I said, "Hey, ranking from 1 to 10, like 10, it's going to happen. It's virtually unstoppable. It's going to happen. It's very, very probable. And 1 is it would never happen." Okay, 10 is going to happen. 1 is not probable. I said, "Rank the probability of a zombie outbreak." teenager was saying, oh, probably a 7 or 8. I said, what? What? Now, you're telling me, okay, 5 is a 50-50 chance. You're saying it's probably like 7. I'm like, really? I mean, they were convinced it could happen. You know, they were talking about, okay, so we're going, you know, we're not talking about zombies. We're talking about robots, artificial intelligence, and this factory is mass producing these things. They're just kicking them out, you know, hundreds of a day, and all of a sudden, they become self-realized and they start to rebel. Now, does that sound like a good story to read? I mean, how many say, oh, that'd be a good story to read? Yeah, not, okay, thank you. There's about 4 or 5 of us that are maybe a little strange here, okay. You say, that's weird. That would never happen. You know, I think that'd be an interesting story. How would that all work out there? But the idea of the created robot taking over and rebelling against the creator, see, that is a horror story. God has allowed his creation to rebel against him, and we're messed up. To a small degree, this ludicrous illustration illustrates what Adam and Eve did in the garden. They acted independently from God. You say, what's the big deal about that? That goes to show how badly we've been affected in our thinking. To act independently, you know, when you get old enough as a teenager, we want to go out on our own and be on our own. That's great. But at a certain age, that's wonderful. But to act independently of God is treason and rebellion. They acted independently from their loving and perfect Creator. The very fact we don't think it's such a bad problem reveals our depravity and separation from God. So here's the intended pattern, that God intends children to honor their parents. That is God's intention. That's the way it should be. Now, let me throw something in there too. The commandment, honor thy father and mother. To whom is that addressed? Is that addressed to parents or children? Okay, are parents to honor? It's to the children, right? If you don't have parents, then you don't have to do it. Is that right? Some of you are looking confused. Yeah, all of us have parents, right? Yeah, so, but it's directed to the children. Does that make sense? Honor your father. It doesn't say fathers and mothers honor your children. Now, I think we do that naturally. We look, you know, say, you know, my son, you know, he is the first place in his class. There's one other person in the class, you know, but he's first place. You know, we are real excited about our kids, but sometimes we have to remember the children are told to honor their parents. That's the intended pattern. And then it said, now let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, because here is another element that's included in this. It doesn't take away from this at all. It enhances the meaning, our understanding of this. Ephesians chapter 6, our familiar passage, starts off with obeying. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Verse 1, honor thy father and thy mother. Oh, I'm sorry, let me back up. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Okay, there's a part of obeying, honoring is obeying. Now it says in the Lord. Now what are we talking about? In the Lord. What that means is that God has asked or has commanded us to do that. It does not mean that a child does not obey a parent, that he doesn't have to obey the parent if the parent is unsaved. Now, sometimes they're looking for excuses. Now, when can I obey God, not man? What excuses can I do to not obey my parents or not to honor them? And he says, listen, this is in the Lord. It means God has asked you to do this. Let me ask you the question, should a saved child honor an unsaved parent? Yes, yes. But what if they're mean? Yes. It doesn't give the qualifications for the kid. There's not all these qualifications. It's to honor their parents. This is the right thing to do. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That word right is not just right and wrong. It's healthy. It's good. It's the way it's supposed to be. It's the way it's intended to be. This is wholesome. This is the way God wants it. It's right and it's good. When God created something, he said, and it was good. God didn't say, I'm going to really make it miserable for them. I got to make up some rules. Man, I'm going to get them with this one. No, this is the right thing to do. It's good. It's right. Flip it around. To not obey is not right. It's unnatural, not normal. It's twisted, perverted. You think about that. It's not right to disobey. Now, maybe you've been in a store that had the rule, wear your mask to enter, and maybe you've had, for whatever reason, chose to ignore the rule. How does that scenario change when somebody walks over to you? You're in the store, you know you're supposed to, you kind of didn't really do it, you didn't really want to, and you're in the store, and then someone says, comes over to you and says, sir, ma'am, would you please put your mask on, you know, while you're in the store? This is one of our rules. Would you do that? Now, does that kind of change our thinking? It does, maybe. So, no, I'm still not going to do it. Okay, well, that's a whole other issue. But sometimes we'll slip in if we know it's the rule, but we don't do it. But then when someone says and asks us nice, we say, okay, I'll do it because they ask me, right? Or you can walk out. That's right. You can say, okay, if that's really your position, I can walk out. But if somebody asks you personally, it does change it, doesn't it? If they ask you nicely. And it's interesting, in this situation, God doesn't have to ask us, but he does say, this is pleasing to me, this is pleasing to the Lord. It's as if he's saying, would you please, this is what I want you to do, this is right. It's the rule, it's the commandment. I don't like commandments, so none of us do, but God has asked you to do this. It's the right thing to do. Now, notice the included blessing here in verse 2. Honor thy father and thy mother, here he says, which is the first commandment with promise. What is the promise? Back in Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, it includes long life. You say, what in the world? How does this work? I obey dad and mom, I get to live longer? How many times do I have to obey? And if I obey once, does that mean an extra year? How does this work? Now, let me walk you through this. Early on as a child, one thing that many of us were taught, when you come to the road, did you have a little phrase your parents taught you? You come to a road, there's the phrase, look left and right. I mean, you know this one I'm talking about? No cars in sight. That's a good rule, isn't it? You don't text while you walk across the road. You get your head up, you stop, you look left and right, no cars in sight. Now, and you say, here's another rule. Don't drink the chemicals in the bathroom. That's a good, you know, there's some pretty powerful cleaning solutions and stuff. Don't drink the chemicals. Now, what if a kid purposely ignores and disobeys mom and dad? I don't care about looking left or right. I'm just going to cross the road. I'm in a hurry. Or I don't care, maybe that stuff in the bathroom tastes good. I'm going to try it out. Okay, if you ignore mom and dad, guess what? You're going to suffer the consequences. Don't touch the hot stove. Well, it looks beautiful. I'm going to see what it feels like. You know, if we ignore mom and dad, we suffer consequences. That's the way life is. What about when mom and dad says, stay away from that boy, he's up to no good. Well, they don't understand him like I do. You know, maybe I'll go see what it's like. And I have an illustration that I am not going to use because we have younger children here, but there is a story that an evangelist shared at camp years ago about a girl that ran away from home, underage girl, and she met a horrible, horrible end. And it's graphic enough where I'm not going to share that with you tonight. But it illustrates the verse in Proverbs 30, verse 17. It says, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother. Do you know the rest of that verse? The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagle shall eat it. Now, as a kid, my mom told me that verse. And if I was ever going to say something, I'm looking like, oh, you know, if mom, I'm looking around, you know, like, you know. And I thought, what does that verse mean? And it dawned on me when I heard stories of women of bad reputation, getting involved in a horrible life of immorality, and they come to a death in a city, they throw the body out on the dumpster. And here comes the trash man Monday morning to pick up the trash, and there's a dead body there. When a man of great honor dies, there's a funeral, there's honor, there's a ceremony to remember this person. A person who turns their back on the advice mom and dad gives them, walks out into a life of sin, when they die, their bodies are strewn along the side of the road somewhere, and birds come and get the body. I think that's what that verse is talking about. If you don't honor your parents, you are earning punishment. They're trying to keep you from the consequences of your sin. Let's go to Colossians 3. There's another phrase here. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, a verse very, very similar to this one. Colossians 3:10. That's not the verse. Got it, wrote it down. What's that? 3:20. Thank you. Thank you. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in all things. And then look at the last phrase, for this is well-pleasing in the Lord. So why do, let me ask you again, which tablet is this on? Is this on our responsibility to God, or is it on responsibility to man? Why should a child honor and obey his parents? Well, I think the primary motivation is it's pleasing to God. But you don't know my parents. They're mean, okay? Why are you doing it? Why are you obeying them? Not for them. Now, there's some benefit to that, but you're pleasing the Lord in that. It's well-pleasing to the Lord. Our primary motivation should be, as we honor our parents, to please the Lord. Now, let's look at the flip side of that. Man's responsibility to man. Children honor their parents. They're there for our good. As a kid being told to do something, well, I don't think it's helpful. My mom and dad want me to do this, and I'm talking about underage children, children that are still in the home there. I'm not sure it's helpful what they're doing. Can I say that's not your place to decide that? You don't have veto power. Hey, you need to take a nap. No, I'm not tired. That's mom and dad's decision to make that. Sometimes they know more about you than you know about yourself. Well, I'm not sure. I don't know why they're asking me to do that. Doesn't matter. You're to obey it. You're to honor them in doing that. Children have a responsibility to honor their parents. I think parents make a big mistake when they let their children make all the decisions. Now, I understand that you want to do something your kids enjoy, and they may want something. You let them do something they want. And I understand that. But there are decisions that a parent needs to make whether the kid likes it or not. How many of you were forced to take music lessons as a kid? Okay. Do any of you regret those music lessons? Okay, Luke, put your hand down. Sometimes we do, but you know there's a benefit to that. And I have seen it enough to know kids like, I don't like this, and they do it. There's some time in there where all of a sudden it's like sparks of fire and it catches, and like, now I love this. You say, aren't you glad your parents made you? Yeah, okay, yeah, I'm glad. But there's parents, we need to understand, there are decisions we need to make for our children because it's the best thing for them. Children are to honor their parents. They're there for their good. If summer camp is beneficial for a young person, if they'll grow spiritually, parents tell your kids, you're going to camp. Now, understand, you know, there's some that make decisions. I'm not saying if you don't send your kids to camp, you're out of the will of God. I'm not saying that. But don't let your kids determine the decisions on those things. Music lessons, we've already talked about that. And then I already said before, parents are not told to honor their kids. It's the other way around. Now, this is the fabric of society, this structure of authority. Anytime a society loses this structure, the society is in a downward spiral. You know, children will learn how to interact with authority the rest of their lives by how they're allowed to act in their home. Think about that. If a kid, I'm talking about from birth, gets everything he wants, when they get to be a teenager and a college kid, they think they're going to get everything they want. And they realize, they need to realize at an early age that there is an authority structure that you need to honor your parents. Parents, the best thing a Christian can do for this nation is to teach their children to honor authority. You say, this country is going downhill, boy. We need to turn this country around. Start by teaching children to honor authority. Do it with your words, but also, do you have authority in your life? Does every person in this room have an authority over them in this room? Yes. Yes. What about you, Pastor? Yes. Yes. And the way I react to authority is teaching my children how they're to react to authority. There's no wonder we have people looting and burning out there and politicians that are backing it up. These politicians were the children of the 60s, many of them, and were acting those things. They didn't understand what authority is, and now they're supposedly the authority. And it's really sad. This is such a pivotal, foundational principle. I can't stress this enough. Dad, teach your children to honor your wife. The way you treat your wife is so important, especially in front of the kids. Mom, teach your children to honor their dad. Don't run them down. Because you're their authority. If authority runs down another authority, the children, they're not going to honor you either. So foundational. And I tell you, this is also, and I don't mean this to be a pessimistic sermon, there's a need for this, but let me end this on a positive note. When a Christian family demonstrates happy, joyful submission in the roles of a family, we shine as lights in a very dark world, do we not? I had an opportunity of watching, I went up Friday evening, and I was watching my boys and my wife do their karate. And they're interacting, and they've got the black belts out there, and they got all the different color belts. And it was amazing to see the instruction going on here. Someone that knew what they were doing, teaching people that didn't know what they were doing. And they're saying, no, you're not doing this right. Do this this way. Do that this way. And there's a response. Yes, sir. There's always an automatic response. Yes, sir. And it wasn't like, I can't believe it. There's no griping. There's no complaining. And guess what? Everybody looked happy. It was so funny. I was watching these two teenage boys, and they're practicing some kind of defense. And one guy would grab the other guy's head and bring his knee up and act like he's smashing his head down. He's going through this motion, and he looked happy doing it. You know, it's like, this is great. You know, this is wonderful. And the other guy's getting his head. It was like, wow, they just look like they're having a great time. But you know what they're doing? They're correcting each other. There's a structure there. There's the belt level, there's an authority structure, and there's respect, there's honor, and there's correction going on. And it wasn't a griping time. It was a wonderful, fun time, at least what it looked like from my perspective. And you know, we don't have to rebel against authority. God has done this for our benefit and for good. And let me just encourage you, Christian homes, that is a wonderful opportunity just to be a light to the world around us. To have children that are submissive to parents, to have mothers and dads talking to each other in a respectful way, it's becoming less and less common out there. And to say, why are you that way? You must be Mormons. Sometimes we think that way. Must be Mormons. No. They say, we're Christians. We honor the Lord. We've submitted to Him. And what a joyful testimony it is. Let me encourage you. If you're doing that, keep doing it. As parents, it's tough. Don't give up. Don't give up. It's worth it. And you say, It's not always perfect, right? It's not always, but just say, Lord, help me and let me do my part. You can't take care of the whole world, but you can take care of your part. And let's strive to honor Him because it is well-pleasing to the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You are a God that is a wonderful God and You've set this structure in place. Lord, help us to honor the ones that You've put in authority position, especially our parents. Thank You for our godly parents, but Lord, also the unsaved parents that You've chosen to put in many people's lives. Not everybody grows up in a Christian home, but Lord, You've still given them parents. You've still given them authority to help them, to help them to learn what life is all about. And Lord, if there is, there are many that are here that have unsaved parents. We pray that You would help them to honor and to respect their parents in such a way that they'd have an opportunity to witness to them. Lord, we pray for the parents in this room. Lord, give us the grace, give us the wisdom, the strength, Lord. We cannot parent as we should without Your help. Lord, we do ask for that strength. Lord, the many grandparents are in this room, Lord, they're beyond their child-rearing years with little children in their home as it was in their parents. Lord, give the grandparents the wisdom, Lord, to give godly influence when it's accepted. We pray that You would use them and the influence they have over their children and their grandchildren for You to receive honor and to see a next generation, a third generation coming up that's learning to obey and to honor their authority. We thank You for that. We thank You for what You're doing in our life. We'll give You the praise and glory. In Your name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymn book and turn